Blog Talk Radio.
Until the earth
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. If you can hear me, area code 540, please push 1. You can hear me. 540, if you can hear me, please push 1. Thank you so much. Well, shalom, everyone. How is everybody doing today? I hope everyone's doing well. First day of the week, happy to be here. The end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I don't think I still had any bread yet today. I haven't gone out, but hey, all praises be to the Most High, y'all. I'm glad that everybody's here. You know, yesterday one of the ladies brought something to our attention, and it was the fact that there's something going on in Georgia with the voting rights. And when I pulled it up today, it was really interesting. I want you to hear this before we get started. I just want you to hear this. What's going on? Here we go.
Taking off your makeup with the kids. But I want to make sure that you're in front of the television right now, because what I'm about to show you and tell you, very important. Very important for the country. Because what you're about to see right now is the face of the fight for your right to vote. Here it is.
Why are they coming all close to her like that? Why are y'all getting all close?
So what you see right there, and what you're hearing, this is Georgia State Representative Park Cannon.
Why is the governor trying to sign something in private?
She is being arrested and removed from the state capitol after knocking on that door during Governor Brian Kemp's signing of that assault, really, on your vote. What results to an assault on your vote. In a video that was posted to social media, and you're going to see it here in moments, Cannon is led away by several officers with her hand cupped behind her back. Right here, she's trying to reason with the officer. She's just knocking on the door. Remember, she is an elected representative.
Are you serious? No, you are not. Representative. She's not under arrest. What for what? Under arrest for what?
You can hear others there demanding that officers not arrest her. So I just want you to watch this, and I want you to remember she's an elected representative being removed as the governor is signing this bill.
Why are you arresting her?
Why are you arresting her?
That's what I'm asking.
Stop arresting her.
Why are you arresting her?
Cite the violation. Cite the code. What is she in violation of? I want you to cite the code. Cite the code. Cite it. What are you? Cite the code. Cite the code. Cite the code. Why are you arresting her? Under what? Under what? Under what law are you arresting her? Why are you arresting her?
About that? Are you outraged? I know you have some sort of emotion around it. I know you're feeling something around it. And you should be passionate about it. That's the only way you change things. Are you outraged? The attorney, Gerald Griggs, is telling CNN that he is representing Cannon. He is working to bond her out of jail after she was booked on felony obstruction charges. CNN has reached out to multiple sources on what happened there tonight, including the police. That is apparently how far that they are willing to go to keep an elected representative from watching the governor sign a bill to take away the voting rights of many people in Georgia. The governor of Georgia, his name is Brian Kemp, you know, and proudly signing a bill that, among other things, would make giving food or water to a voter waiting online a misdemeanor, allowing unlimited challenges to voter registrations, and allow state officials to replace local election officials. Make no mistake about it. This bill is about nothing less than taking away the right to vote. That is all it is, plain and simple. A right that generations of Americans fought and died for. And the governor is proud to sign it. Well, he's proud enough to sign a bill in front of cameras and what looks to be a room full of white men. Look at the picture on your screen. Now, they were in there. Why weren't they arrested, huh? Proud to sign that bill full of a room of men who look like him. Proud to tweet it out as well. That same governor who just months ago put out tweets calling the late Congressman John Lewis a civil rights icon and a freedom fighter. Well, John Lewis would have been the first one out there fighting against this. The bill the governor signed tonight is a slap in the face to John Lewis, who gave his life, who risked his life for the right to vote, whose skull was fractured, who was arrested more than 40 times, all for the right to vote. And tonight, Governor Kemp is taking away that right from the people he was elected to serve. The vote is one of the pillars of our democracy, and it is no coincidence this is happening in the state that helped Joe Biden win the White House, the state that gave Democrats control of the Senate. No coincidence at all. Georgia Republicans are making it harder for a whole lot of people of color, most of whom support Democrats, to vote. President Joe Biden is passionate in his first press conference today about protecting the most sacred right we have as Americans, the right to vote, railing against voter suppression efforts, calling them sick and un-American.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line, waiting to vote, deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work, deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances.
And the president is right. It is un-American. It is an assault on your right to vote. I've been telling you for, what, months now about what we're dealing with in this country. It is I hate to keep talking about it, but you have to. This is just out-and-out racist. That's all it is. They're trying to – it is built on a lie that people of color in urban centers and big urban areas around the country, that they somehow did something fraudulent, that they stole an election, when it was proven over and over and over by Republican officials, lawmakers, Republican legislators, election officials, court cases, the Supreme Court, that it was a lie. And now they have enacted into law legislation that was built on a lie about the election. And all of a sudden they want election integrity because people have concerns about the integrity of the election. Why do they have those concerns? Because you lied to them about it. That's why they have those concerns. So what you're doing is a lie on top of a lie on top of another lie. It is no different than Jim Crow. A poll tax with a different name and a different method. That's what it is. This is the jelly beans in the jar of 2021. How many?
All right, you guys, and there you have it. Any questions? Anyone want to push one? Have anything to say? Because if I had anything to say, it would be, here we go. Hold on a minute. Area code 513. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, shalom, everybody. You know, they didn't do that to the ones that bombed the state capitol. They opened the door for them and let them in and let them leave, but they arrest her for knocking on the door?
Felony charge.
Ain't that something?
She was elected official.
But yet you could go through the White House, beat up police, kill police, white TC all over the walls, steal government secrets. You can leave, get on the plane, go home, and then they don't do nothing to you.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And you wonder why y'all put that freighter in and blocked that canal.
Yeah.
It's just the start.
It is. It's only the beginning.
It's the start. Yeah, you know, they're talking about that freighter is bottom heavy because they got cargo ships on the front of it, on the back of it, and now they think it's getting ready to crack in half because it's not meant to just stay still like that.
Oh, well. Ain't that what we say? Oh, well.
Oh, well. Shoot, an eye for an eye.
I think that all of this is happening and that the Most High is letting us see all of these things happen to let us know how close we are to leaving here because it's an all-out assault on black people.
Exactly.
It is an all-out assault. It appears as though, you know, that old racist mentality is crawling to the surface. It's crawling to the surface. You know, before there was resistance because of different laws that were passed, there was some resistance to how far people could go or would be willing to go because they were afraid of the law and the things that would happen to them through the law. But now that Trump did a beautiful job in waking up that monster. He woke the monster up. So the monster don't want to go back to sleep. The monster want to come out. And anything they can do to set the stage for whomever comes back in 2024 is going to be set in motion so that they can bring this person in office. And if this is not a sign for people to understand that this is not going to get no better.
Yeah.
Because at first they were telling people, vote, vote, vote. It's happening because you don't vote. And then the people came out to vote and he didn't get in. And then it was the election was rigged. So now the people are coming out to vote and they see that the vote makes a difference and it matters. Now they're going to fix it where it's going to be very difficult for you to vote. And they got to come back to the surface. Jacob's trouble has to happen. It has to happen. You know, and you can't, you're not going to change God's word. He said Jacob's trouble is going to happen, and it has to happen. And we have to understand the importance of being prepared to leave here. If he said Jacob was going to be saved out of it, then we have to believe that, and we have to be prepared to leave here.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Simply because this is a country that is on top. It's the leading country of the world. And this is a country that has been on top for a very long time. And there's something going on with the leadership of this country where they feel like there's an all-out assault on black people. Something is going on within something we don't know nothing about because it's just amped up. It's gone. It's went to a whole nother level. So it's something going on they're not telling us, but it's an all-out assault on people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making sense. It's just not making any sense. You know, we're not moving forward. We're moving backwards. So it's something we don't know nothing about. However, we do know that Yah's word is not going to come back void. We do know that.
Oh, yeah. Got to fulfill itself.
Got to fulfill itself. It's got to. Because, if, you know what I'm saying? And it's almost like it's a deliberate attack. And it's not deliberate because nothing happens by chance. Everybody is playing their part. So all of the governors and all the people that's standing with him, that's changing all these laws to make it appear as if, you know, they're going to change things and take things backwards or make things difficult, it has to happen. It has to.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But one thing we know is we know Yah. And when the time comes, he will manifest himself. And all things work together for the good to them who love Yah and are the called according to his purpose. All things, which means that no matter what it looks like and no matter what they do, it's playing right into his initial plan. And his initial plan is to deliver Israel.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's why the scripture
says he wrote it down for the world to see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, better say that. The Most High turned it around for our good because it's all going to play out the way he puts it in the hearts of man to do the things that they feel like they're doing on their own, but it's only to fulfill his agenda. That's why it says he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. Because we got to know that no matter what they do, no matter what move they make, it's all working toward Yah's agenda. And he's already told you, yes, it's going to get bad. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. Yes, they're going to come after you. Yes, it's going to be all-out assault. He said, but Jacob will be saved out of it. That was the assurance that he gave us.
Oh, yeah.
People who don't know what's going on, that they're getting frustrated. Like Don Lennon and all the rest of them, that are getting frustrated because they put confidence in a system that was never meant for them to get comfortable with. It wasn't. It wasn't.
It's that fear. That fear, your eyes gonna fail, your heart gonna fail for what your eyes are seeing.
Yes, ma'am.
You could try to run, but you ain't going nowhere. Like a gerbil in the wheel, it's gonna keep coming past you.
Yes, incredible. And they're just looking in awe and disbelief. She's an elected official. Evidently, that don't mean nothing either.
Now, they had elected officials that they caught running up in that Capitol. They didn't do nothing to them, but they grabbed her.
Handcuffed her. Drug her out. Put her on the elevator.
In front of the world.
She put her foot up to try to stop the door from closing, and the man put her foot down, and the deputy sheriff stood in front of her as to say, okay, don't do that again. Now, we're trying not to hurt you.
Mm. And I like what the news, where there was Don that was talking, to say it had, what, nothing in that room but white men?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 But there's something going on that we don't know about. There's something happening in the panels that we don't know about.
Oh, yeah. And you know, they just announced that cargo ship, that Evergreen that stuck, is loaded with COVID supplies.
Really?
So evidently that supplies ain't supposed to get where it's going. Yep. They say it was loaded with respirators and other COVID supplies. And they're predicting another outbreak at least by June. They said when it started getting getting hot because people won't stay home.
Well, I guess they won't get those, will they?
Uh-uh. They can have mine. I'll sign whatever paper you want me to. You can have mine.
Now, I want you to hear the reactions of what happened after they cuffed this lady. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Check this out.
I've seen Chicago be used as a media scapegoat for blackmail, criminalization, or criminality. And look at Chicago. Remember when Trump used to love to say that? He's like, don't look over here while I'm robbing American people. Look at Chicago. You know, I mean, our border right now is that a lot of people are just being marginalized into numbers. But no, these are actual human beings. And what's happening to these kids is scientifically proven to have adverse effects to their development.
Right.
As they grow.
Now Vic Mensa's tagging politics again. His new album out today reflects on a new generation coming of age during the rise of activism and militants in this BLM movement.
This ain't nonviolence. This is that prison break. This is that Quentin State troopers and looters and sirens. This is that. By any means. This is that hunger that rumble the stomach of fiends. This is the theme of the thieves. This is the reason we bleed. This poverty and disease.
That song, Freedom, is off the new album, I Tape, with guest appearances by Wyclef and Chance the Rapper. And Chicago artist Vic Mensa is back with us now. Congrats on the project, and thanks for returning.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Vic. We'll get to the music, but let's start with this big news week. What's on your mind? What needs to fall back?
Georgia lawmakers. They need to fall right back. This new voter suppression law they have, I mean, it really is like a modern-day Jim Crow law. And I just read that they signed this law into effect underneath a painting of a slave plantation while dragging out a black lawmaker who knocked on the door to be in the room while they, you know, sign away her people's right to vote.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, and we have that footage, which this is something we're only seeing because a journalist had it, you know, on their camera phone, as mentioned. What does that mean to you, and what do you think this new, younger generation that's coming of age during Trump and BLM sees when they see this, and what do people want to do about it?
It means that, you know, these sons of slave masters are afraid that their power may be slipping. I mean, if you look at the election, black people steer this election, you know, towards Joe Biden. I mean, in Georgia particularly, and, you know, black organizers and Stacey Abrams, and, you know, shout out to Killer Mike, and, you know, they're in fear of the power that the people have, and they're responding in classic fashion by doing everything that they can to suppress and to silence. But the world is changing, and they can clamber for, you know, their grip on us, their white supremacist grip, as much as they want to, but they can't stop change.
Yeah. Yeah, when you put it like that, especially that there's a wider coalition change, we saw, as you said, led by a lot of black voters for Joe Biden in the primary and the general election, as well as other both young liberals and some older Democrats all coming together on this one, that is exactly what imperils some of their power. While I have you, I mentioned to viewers, iTape dropped today. You've been very busy, even despite or within the pandemic. What got you feeling creative in this last year, and what's this album saying, man?
The album is about freedom above all, you know, with a lens on incarceration, and was heavily inspired by the events of last year. I think that so many barriers were toppled, and, you know, that thin veil of security that we feel as Americans, feel untouchable, that definitely crumbled. And so this album is really exposing a lot of that and speaks about incarceration because, you know, the prison is the nucleus. That's the heart of everything wrong with America. That's the centerpiece. And so I'm exploring those stories.
All right, there you have it. There you got it. He said they afraid. It's like, well, what you scared of? You can't stop y'all. You know? But you got to understand this, too. Unfortunately, we are sitting smack dab in the middle of a transition that's taking place. We sit in smack dab in the middle of something that is happening right before our eyes. And it's unfortunate that we have to view it, but it's not the first time that it's happened to us and giving us an opportunity to see this. And it makes you think about Daniel chapter 2. You know, when you see the order of world powers that took place in Nebuchadnezzar's journey, and you can open up the history book and see not only was it accurate to the names and the dates, the prophecy was accurate and complete on the nose. So at some point, these empires had an ending date. And nobody wanted to accept the fact that it had an ending date. And as we approach this time, when you look at these people, it's some rich people in this country. I mean, it's a 1% percentage group that is wealthy beyond anything that you and I could ever begin to imagine. These people are not willingly ready to let go of the status that they have because they don't know what's going to come after. So when you see these things and you have militant groups rising up, you have activist group rising up, you have Hebrew Israelites on the street corner telling you one thing, you have all these different groups coming at the system saying this is not going to change, we got to do something to change it. And then we telling people, you know, don't try to worry about changing it, let's get ready to go. All of the things that's being said, it's putting people on alert, and to me, everybody's trying to do whatever they need to do to save their empire. Yeah. And it's fear. It's fear. Not fear about us, but fear about the fact that the empire is in jeopardy. Because nobody's stupid. Nobody is stupid. We know that this wasn't always this way. This country was not always on top. Just like we look at Iraq right now, and it is crumbs and nothing, it was a world power at one point. And everybody can open up the history books and see this stuff is happening. And then when you can go back into the Bible and see that the Bible talks about it, it lays it out, it outlines it, it timelines it. These people are looking like, oh, shoot, we need to get control over this. We need to stop all this because if not, this is not going to work out in our favor. But you can't stop y'all. You can't. You know, you can't stop it. Now, they've been telling everybody since I was old enough to know to go vote. Go vote. Voting changes. Voting makes a difference. Voting does this and does that. And what ended up happening, I see you, Brother Donia, what ended up happening through the voting is they voted the one that they wanted out. And voting can't have that much power anymore. But you can't stop y'all. You can't stop him. Hold on. Area code 770, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Jerome Jerome. Was it me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. This stuff is spiraling out of control. They don't have no control. You understand? And so what they're doing here now is they're trying to stifle anything that's going to come up in the, you know, in the voting, because they never going to be, Republicans is never going to have a president. In the next 4 years, which is 2024, they will not win that election. You understand? Because they have misled the people for such a long time. Their own folks. They have misled them for such a long time. You understand? With the lies and the... And see, the thing is with me is that this is the all hand of the Almighty God. It's unfolding just the way the Almighty said it was going to. He said he's going to punish these people or chastise or judge these people, you understand, after the 400 years, or, you understand. So this is happening, just planned it out, you understand.
Yes,
now,
sir.
We can't, we're not able to see how he's doing it, but we can look at the aftermath of what has or what transpired. You understand what I'm saying? And so we can see it unfolding right before our eyes. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's nothing that they can do about this. Yeah, this is the hand of the Almighty. You know, Sister Yaina, you ever thought about this? Before the United States of America came into play, they had other superpowers. They had the Arab power, superpower was in place 1,000 years before America, and so it just appeared to me that this was set up just for our punishment, for no other reason, because we disobeyed the Creator of our God. You understand, our laws, our statutes, our commandments, the way the Almighty had it set up, and we disobeyed it. So this has to be. And the people that are running this, hear what the Almighty said. He said he was going to send a people down on us, a no people, a people void of understanding, to have no compassion or consideration for the young or the old. You understand? So this is where we at now. You understand? But see, I know it's fearful. It looks very, very dim. You understand? Especially for those that don't have an understanding of the Scripture and our God. But those of us that have that spirit for the Almighty and for the laws that we have, see, we got to go back to those. It said in Deuteronomy, I think it talks about how we got to bethink ourselves in the land of our captivity. So this is where we at now. We got to come back to the Almighty in that land of our captivity. Those of us that do will be saved out of this mess. The rest of them, you understand, got to perish. There's going to be 2/3 of them and 1/3 of the people. What the Almighty said, the children of men. You understand? Those are the ones that's going to be saved out of it. There's nothing that nobody can do to change this, to turn this around at all. You understand? We just got to watch it unfold, you understand, and play out. Hallelujah.
And can you imagine, do you see the setup? Do you see it already getting set up right now? You know where? It's just, let me play this one real quick, and I want you to hear this. Here we go.
On poverty and opportunity, she's a member of the Appropriations and Budget Committees and a former chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. She joins us today from El Paso, Texas, and we're going to get to the reason for that in just a moment. But, Congresswoman, I have to talk to you about this issue that is going on in Georgia. The companies that are based in Georgia that are apparently turning a bit of a blind eye to this, the idea that all of these changes are just meant to make it harder for people to vote and do not have any apparent tie to this voter fraud that everybody is apparently chasing. Your thoughts on this attack on democracy that has taken place this week?
Thank you, Ali, and good morning. Let me tell you, these are fundamental attacks on our democracy, which they're un-American, and we're at a very defining moment. I mean, what has taken place takes place under dictatorships. I have monitored elections in many, many countries, making sure that they're fair and free. And what is taking place here in the United States is very similar to what has taken place throughout the country in terms of dictatorship. So I am very concerned that these actions are taking place in terms of voter suppression, and of course they're targeted towards people of color, specifically African Americans. That is why we have got to pass H.R. 1, which increases and makes sure that there's voter access, and also the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which is H.R. 4. That has to happen. We have to have federal protection, because otherwise we're going to go back to before the days of Jim Crow. We're going to go back to days where African Americans were, quite frankly, not seen as human beings. And so we are continually fighting back. I am so proud of Representative Cannon in Georgia. I mean, she stood up, she fought back, and you see what voter suppression looks like in terms of how she was treated when she was just trying to gain access to what she should have been able to gain access to.
And let's just remind our viewers about that. I'm going to ask my control room if they've got the video of Representative Cannon. She was attempting to gain access to the governor's chambers. There was a signing in there. There were a number. I mean, the imagery was kind of remarkable. As she was being arrested, what was going on inside the governor's office, there were a number of white men signing this bill into law in a big hurry, and they were actually signing it under a painting, believe it or not, I guess it's a painting that's always there, of a plantation, a slave plantation in Georgia. This is what we know of as civil disobedience, the arrest of a legislator. It is something we've seen in the United States. It's something we saw in South Africa. It's something we've seen all over, where someone is trying to protest a law that is in place that is unjust. It is a remarkable thing to be watching in 2021, Georgia. Representative?
Yeah, it's outrageous. Remember the images and what took place when our beloved John Lewis and those who fought to gain the right to vote marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Remember how they were beat. Remember how they were jailed. Remember what brutality they experienced as a result of just trying to gain their full democratic rights, the right to vote. Here we once again see how an African-American woman representative is being treated by the police, trying to deny her absolute rights to be able to witness the signing of a bill. It is just it's scary in many respects, but I tell you one thing, African Americans are not going to stand for that. We're fighting back. We're making sure that we have the votes to move forward on these two bills. We have got to end this filibuster so that we can pass H.R. 1 and we can pass H.R. 4, because this is, a fundamental moment where our democracy is at stake. And I have seen dictatorships, and I have seen what has happened to people when their rights are taken away. This is also an issue of human rights. I've served as a representative to the United Nations. I know what violations of human rights are.
Representative, speaking of human rights, you are in El Paso, Texas, because you're bearing witness to the situation at the southern border. And depending on who you ask, the characterization of that situation is very different. The Homeland Security Secretary talking about the U.S. being on pace to achieve the highest number of border crossings in 20 years. Border Patrol says they've encountered an average of 5,000 undocumented immigrants a day over the last 30 days. What is your view of what's going on down there and what needs to happen?
Sure, thank you. You know, I was born here in El Paso, Texas, into an immigrant community. And I have to tell you what we are doing. First of all, we visited Carrizo Springs right outside of San Antonio and talked with many of the young children who were being held there until they can be transferred to their parents or their sponsors through the Office of Refugee Resettlement. These young people are coming, fleeing violence, fleeing poverty, and in fact, we have asylum laws. Of course, this past administration just destroyed all of any asylum laws that we have. And so what the Biden-Harris administration is doing is trying to repair the damage of the last 4 years in terms of immigration. And what we're trying to do is make sure that these children are healthy and that they're safe and that they are provided the opportunity to get with their parents or their sponsors in an expeditious fashion. And so now today we're in El Paso and we'll be looking at the border, what is taking place at the border, and also many of the wonderful nonprofits here who are making sure that they ensure that these children have a safe and healthy place to live.
All right, there you go. There you have it. You heard her say it's really kind of scary because if we don't do something, we're going to go back past Jim Crow. And I want to read a scripture before we comment on that. I want to read a scripture. And it actually is Jeremiah chapter 30 with what we were talking about before. And verse, we're going to start at verse number, let me see. We're going to start at verse number 1. We're going to go down to 7, and it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Most High, saying, thus speaketh the Most High Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Most High, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Yehuda, saith the Most High. So this is still about the Hebrew Israelites. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Most High spake concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus saith the Most High, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doeth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Most High of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Most High their Elohim, and Dawid their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So we know that this time is going to be a terrible time. But that is the beginning of our deliverance.
Absolutely.
This is what we're seeing.
That is correct.
When we see this kind of stuff happening, we know that this is the beginning of our deliverance.
Don't turn to the left or turn to the right. Stay in the road. Stay in the way somebody would have us to go. You understand? And I know it's going to get rough and it's going to get rough. You understand? You know, but we got to stay focused on the Almighty and the laws that we refuse to do in the land where the laws was practicing. You understand? So you understand? You know what? You know when you played that clip, they talk about the black caucus. The black caucus stand throughout all the times that they've been in place. You understand? You can't put them in place. You understand? Because they have not done nothing. They haven't stayed on one issue. You understand? And saw it all the way through. Or made any kind of concessions for black folks. We've seen all of these people, our brothers and sisters being shot down, murdered, you understand, you know, and they haven't spoken on none of that. So all of a sudden they talk about, the issue that they talk about is salary, you understand. They salary going to be messed up.
That'd be a terrible time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I say I'm agreeing with you. It's going to be a terrible time.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrible, terrible day, man. You understand? We ain't saying nothing yet. You understand what I'm saying? What we are saying is that they set the stage here. You understand? For us to try to do something outlandish. You understand? You understand? We'd escape those. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can't do nothing. They ain't going to do nothing for one another. You understand? Because they got all of these guys. They got all these different kind of cases. You understand what I'm saying? Fraud cases, this and that and the other. They got the incident. They got 300 people they got out of that insurrection thing, and we don't hear nothing about that. We don't hear nothing. Ain't nobody going to court. interaction with us is what they rushed that stuff through, man, the other day. We locked up in the penitentiary or killed or murdered. Come on, man. You understand? So we know that this is getting ready to get real. They're amping it up, man. You understand? Ratcheting it up. You understand? Ooh, this is getting ready to get real rough. All I can say is that we got to stay dedicated to our God. Period.
Mm-hmm. Get prepared. I mean, when you start seeing this stuff, you know it's time to get prepared. Time. It says in Daniel chapter 12, it says, and at that time shall Mikael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. He said everybody going to be delivered. When it get bad, you better know our redemption light draws nigh. It really do. This is some big boy stuff. I mean, you know, like you said, like we said yesterday, it's stuff happening everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And like Sister Couture said, you know, no matter what we do, no matter what happens, he always does something to ward off whatever they plan is. So if it's got COVID stuff on that freighter, it ain't moving. Ain't no freighters moving. That's Daniel 12 and 1. Ain't
yeah,
nothing
know, I
moving.
Also look at the plague that happened in Egypt. It was all agricultural.
Yeah.
Was none of that stuff. Just, it was all agricultural plague. You understand? The flies to the boils and, you understand, you know. The only one that was not agriculture is the killing of the firstborn. That was not agriculture. But the rest of that stuff was all agriculture. The winds
it
came
sure
in,
was.
The locusts came in. Oh, man, it was just in a mess. You understand? It's getting ready to get real, real rough. I'm telling you. You understand? We just got to stay loyal to our Creator. You understand? As we never have been before.
It sure was. It sure is. Ain't no lie about that there. It sure is. Whew! I mean, this is some serious stuff right here.
Try to stack you up some food, man, you understand? Because that's going to, you hear what y'all talked about yesterday, a big tanker, I mean, not tanker, ship that was carrying goods and services, you know, goods, you understand, is blocking. That stuff is not going to come into the Americas, you understand, for a number of years. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They got to hit all the other ports, even if it gets enlarged. Oh, it's getting ready to get real rough, man.
Especially if that bad boy break in half. And this thing down into that canal, that's going to be ugly. I mean, seriously ugly. Real ugly. So, I mean, you know what they said? That thing is as large as the Empire State Building. Can you imagine a freighter being that big?
Yeah, and you know, and see, here's the thing, you understand? They got it overloaded too, man. I'm talking about, do you see all them trailers? I mean, those carts on that thing? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, I think that's overkill. But they're trying to rush stuff in, you understand? Get as much of it into our country. They got other ships that carry stuff, man. They just even that stuff off. It wouldn't be no problem. But they can't move it because of the weight.
Ooh, it's a big old ship. It's big, it's tall, as long as the Eiffel, I mean, as the Empire State Building. I said I have never, he says huge, it's massive. But hold on, let me play this last clip about to go to this thing. Here, no, here we go.
Incredibly powerful, juxtaposing that imagery against the imagery we've seen so many times in the course of the last 6 weeks, that of white insurrectionists, white supremacist insurrectionists storming the Capitol, and in some cases not having to see any action from law enforcement. It is just a stunning, stunning picture of the two Americas we live in today.
That's right. And Representative Cannon was up to good trouble, and she is now going to be someone whom we all know and look to. She was in Stacey Abrams' former seat. But she was doing something on behalf of Black Georgia, but she was also doing something on behalf of a multiracial coalition of voters who waded through high water to do the impossible on January 5th. And the thing that the Republicans never seem to understand is that when they use a club to beat down the power of the American people, they're not just hitting their own voters. This is what happens time and time again. When the right wing attacks the franchise and the right to vote, it, of course, hits the target, first and worst, Black Americans who are more likely to use early voting, more likely to use all of the different, have the long lines that are now being targeted with this ridiculous making it a crime to give people water. But it's also something that impacts voters of all races in Georgia. Everyone likes to have an early voting window. Nobody wants partisan hacks to be challenging voters left and right. This is the promise and peril of American democracy. All our votes have to count, or effectively none of them does.
Greg, to Heather's point, I can imagine there are Georgians who maybe weren't even following the back and forth over this voter restriction bill and its progress through the state legislature, and have been accosted with the images this morning, the juxtaposition of Governor Kemp in there signing this law that's going to disproportionately disenfranchise voters of color, a Black lawmaker knocking at the door and getting arrested, and who find the whole thing distasteful, who have been awoken to the injustices taking place in their own state. How is it playing in Georgia?
Yeah, I think that Park Cannon's arrest has become a symbol of this legislation, and I expect it to be brought up on the halls of Congress as federal lawmakers are considering federal voting rights legislation. In Georgia, certainly, it overshadowed what was expected to be a victory lap of sorts for Republicans who wanted to revel in the fact that this legislation had been signed into law. And instead, all the focus, or a lot of the focus last night, was on the arrest of Representative Park Cannon in the aftermath. And for the next few weeks, this is going to be playing out in the campaign trail, in the halls of Congress, and in the courthouse, where a lawsuit has already been filed challenging the constitutionality of these sweeping new restrictions.
Greg, it also sounds like it's going to be playing out in the business sector. There's now a lot of pressure on businesses that do business, that have their businesses in Atlanta, in Georgia, to rethink that. Can you tell us about the latest on that front?
Yeah, we're talking about Coca-Cola, Home Depot, Delta. These are major Atlanta-based corporations that have played an outsized role in Georgia politics and in Georgia legislation for years, wading into perilous debates in some senses and staying out of them in others. And activists and voting rights advocates have been infuriated that some of these companies, at least, have tiptoed around the issue. They have not taken strident stances. They have not taken outspoken stances against some of these restrictions. And there's even calls for boycotts and other sort of economic repercussions. And I think that's also one of the reasons why Governor Kemp has so hastily signed this into law. I think he was worried that there'd be an even larger campaign, a pressure campaign. And that's why, you know, these pieces of legislation, they usually take days of vetting. And in this case, it was signed within basically an hour of final approval in the Georgia Senate. So I think he wanted to thwart any sort of public pressure campaign.
Well, Reverend Sharpton, I should ask you, do you have your plane ticket to Atlanta yet? I would assume that you will be down there acting as a pressure point on these Republican lawmakers.
Absolutely. We'll be in Atlanta. We're going to Minneapolis for the opening of the trial and then going into Atlanta. We have an office in Atlanta, Reverend Saylor. Clearly, this is what has to happen. And the corporate world, you have major corporations there in Atlanta and throughout Georgia that has to take a stand. At the same time, we need to put pressure on the U.S. Senate to pass, which was H.R. 1 and 4, which is now Senate 1, this bill to deal with federal voting laws. And I think that clearly we are where we were 40 years ago in the Civil Rights Movement when I was just a little kid, where you need federal law to supersede the state laws. Because what we're looking at now is states' rights on voting. The Senate must establish national voting rights laws at a federal level. So we're talking to clergymen in West Virginia about they ought to be putting their pressure on Manchin. We're talking about Sinema in Arizona, clergymen there, faith leaders and activists there. We cannot afford not to have federal law here. What stopped segregation was not state to state, state legislators. It was the Civil Rights Act of 64, federal, and then the Voting Rights Act of 65. So we need to be in Atlanta and in Washington and in Minneapolis and put the pressure on.
And I think, Heather, we would do well to all read your book, but one of the points that you make is while black and brown voters are, you know, often the most disenfranchised in this moment, this affects anybody who's working, anybody who has to stand online for 8 hours and might need water. That kind of need doesn't see skin color. That's just a basic human need. You know, all of us. It is to the detriment of all of our democracy to see voter restriction laws like this passed across the country.
That's right. I mean, this goes back to the core quandary of American democracy. The founders broke with a European tradition of monarchy and bet on a radical idea of self-governance, and yet they compromised with their own ideals from the start. They left holes in the bedrock of our democracy to leave room for slavery and racism, and that has been the tension ever since. This is the opportunity, this is democracy's moment for the United States Senate to take up the For the People Act and pass it. Joe Manchin, Senator Joe Manchin, issued a letter earlier this week that outlined the parts of the bill that he could approve of. But I want to be clear that, and I applaud him, there were a lot of pieces around voting rights and election integrity and disclosure that he said, I'm supportive of this. And that is great. The last thing we needed would be to fight with Democrats about some of these basic reforms. And yet, most of the provisions of that bill are super majority popular. Campaign finance reform, nonpartisan redistricting, the idea that every American has the right to vote and that that should be enshrined in federal law and that politicians shouldn't be able to pick their voters. Rather, voters should pick their politicians. There's a supermajority in support of democracy. The only thing the right wing has is a racist lie about election fraud. That is the only thing they have going for them. We have democracy on our...
All right, there you have it. There it is.
This is what you get when you got a two-party system. Ain't neither one of those parties going to agree with the other. No matter who's in power. If you got a Democrat in power, you understand the Democrats or the Republicans is not going to agree with anything that they do. You understand? And so that poses a problem right there. You understand? So, you know, but the thing is with me is that, you know, what really started this whole thing was when Trump came into a nominee as president and became president and so forth. When they didn't question his lies, that started the whole thing. Now everybody can lie. Everybody's talking about that lie with no those lies, you understand? With no evidence or proof. President Trump, he said that he wanted the Justice Department to investigate certain things that happened, that he said that had happened, you understand? But the Justice Department can't investigate unless you give them something to investigate, you understand? And he never came up with no facts, no proof or no evidence. You understand? So when they allowed him to get away with that stuff, you understand, they opened up a door. Now, even after he's president, you understand, he came up with the story that the tin has been stolen. No evidence, no proof. And they jumped on it. Oh, the left is being stolen, da da da. But there's no evidence or no proof of that. They did the investigations, you understand, they recounted twice, I think, three times, I think, you understand, and they found no evidence of that. But they can't do anything about it because nobody's looking at the lies, you understand, with no evidence. You can't say that. Oh, boy.
And again, though, it's bigger than this. You know, it's you got to look at the whole picture. You got goods and services being held up in the Suez Canal. You got a run on the dollar. The dollar is not worth but a dime now. You got COVID-19. The country's been shut down. Multiple businesses have closed down, whether they're mom and pop businesses or large department stores now. The physical places are closing down. You can only buy online now, and they're delivering the goods and services to you. You got all kinds of catastrophes happening all over the world. Insurance payments is going up. People dying from COVID. People losing their jobs. There's about to be a run on the housing market again because these people are not going to have enough money to sustain themselves. And then you look at all this, and they're looking at the whole picture. They're like, okay, something's got to be done because this is going to get way worse than anything we could ever begin to imagine. It's bigger than just a political party. This is the empire that they're looking at. It's losing its stamina. And the main way they do that is what do? They try to stop the immigrants from coming in because they don't want the immigrants to use up any unnecessary goods and services that will take away from them. And then they look at us next.
Okay. Hallelujah. I understand perfectly.
Because we have always been on top, and we're going to stay on top.
That is correct.
And anybody that's threatening that, we're going to have to do something about it.
Yep.
You know?
You know, I said this a long time ago. Before they make any kind of changes, they'll burn this, they'll let this place burn down.
Yeah. I mean, you got to understand. I mean, look at how long our country was shut down. That was billions of dollars just being set. We still haven't bounced back. You know how many major department stores is closing down where you can't walk in there and shop anymore?
Yeah. You know, if you expect this place to bounce back, stop looking, man. Don't waste your time on that one. You understand? You know, it's not coming back. I'm talking about it's not even going to give the appearance that it's coming back. You understand? Because it's too far gone. Everything is gone. Man, you know, Joe Biden, you understand? If he could do anything, you understand? He's not going to be able to do it because the Republicans are going to block everything. You understand? This is how they do. You understand? They ain't got a solution, but we can block it. We can block your solution. This is getting ready to get way too big, boy. You understand? It's already at a point, man. You understand that they cover up one hole and four or five pop up. You understand? It's getting ready to get real crazy out here. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir. You better believe. You know, and these rich people are already making preparations to leave. They know what time it is.
But where are they going, sister?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know. I have
no
idea.
Place that they can have. Everybody got to get paid, you understand, for what they have done. You know, everybody want to duck and hide and put their head in the sand. That's not going to happen, man. Everybody got to get paid, man. Almighty is out. Look here. He's going to do what he needs to do for his people. You understand? That's what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
No other nation have I known.
Yes, absolutely. 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 I mean, when you really look at the whole picture, and believe me, they are looking at the whole picture, everything. They really are.
No other nation have I known, Judge Dan. We are the apple of his eye, his inheritance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievable, I'm telling you.
you know, I'm concerned because we got relatives and mothers and fathers and all and friends and stuff, man, that are that going to get caught up in this melee of nonsense, man. You understand? You know, because of their own iniquities, because they want to be a part of this society. You understand? Thinking it's going to bounce back, it's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. You understand? And so we suffer with that kind of feelings for our people, man. But we got to understand, we got to let that go, man. We got to kind of try to do for those that are under the auspices of our king of the whole universe, who created the heavens and the earth. And he's the God of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You understand what I'm saying? So we gotta take heed to those things, man. You know, and let them other folks, man, do their thing. Because, you know, when they come to your house and say, well, I'm hungry, you feed them. And see, all the time you've been telling them that what they need to do, and they refuse to do it. Now they come to your door and want you to give them what you got. You'd be happy to do what you can for them, you understand? And I tell them, scatter your shots now. Go to somebody else's house.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you. Yes, indeed.
See, our God is true and living Elohim.
Yes, he is. You better say that, and he mean that. He say what he mean, and he mean. Listen here.
He said, man, Jacob shall be saved out of this here. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And all we got to do, and how do we talk about? He said, Jacob shall be saved out of this. So when we say Jacob will be saved out of this, that means something has to be. You understand? We have to do something to be recognized as Jacob. You understand? Jacob's meant his genealogy. You understand? And the best thing that I know, you understand, is that we need to turn from our wicked ways and pray and ask the Almighty to forgive us for our sins. You understand? You know, and he will forgive our sins and heal our land. This is what he's saying. You understand? And that I bank on that. I'm telling you, man, that's all I can think about. You understand? I know that I ain't been the best Hebrew Israelite that I could be. I'm still working on me. You understand? Till the end, I'll be working on me.
Mm-hmm. Now check this out. This ain't gonna be long, but check this out. Hold on, here we go.
I wonder if the age of American exceptionalism is coming to an end. Our next guest, Wade Davis, believes that it is. He's professor of anthropology at the University of British Columbia, and in a recent article for Rolling Stone, he wrote about how COVID-19 signals, quote, the unraveling of America. And here he is talking to Ahari Srinivasan about how even great empires have their day.
Mm. Thanks, Christian. Wade Davis, thanks for joining us. This has been a popular concern among critics of the president, this idea that the American empire is unraveling. And I want to start with just a little quote from the essay that you had penned for Rolling Stone. And you said in there, "No empire long endures, even if few anticipate their demise. Every kingdom is born to die. The 15th century belonged to the Portuguese, the 16th to Spain, 17th to the Dutch, France dominated the 18th, and Britain the 19th. Why do you think that this is the end of the American empire or the American era?
Well, I think, you know, obviously that's not something I'm looking forward to, and I think if the era does slip away, we're going to be very nostalgic for it, particularly if the weight of history moves to China with that political structure. I was really at this piece trying to look at it through the cultural lens. You know, it's interesting, the arguments have always been about morbidity and mortality as if it was a medical story. You know, one side saying that these figures are really desperately terrible, the other side saying, oh, we're exaggerating and so on. And it struck me that the real issue was what this pandemic meant in this moment of time. You know, The Black Death, of course, changed European history by wiping out half the population of Europe and transforming the economy. But we also have had other pandemics. Like my own grandfather died in the Spanish flu in 1919. Millions of people died. Yet that didn't shake history because it happened in a time when the world was already numb from death, you know. And people forget that, for example, in the summer of Woodstock, when 500,000 kids swam around together in the mud in New York State, there was a major Hong Kong outbreak that left people in Berlin storing corpses in subway stations because the hospitals got overrun. So what's different now? I think what's different now is, first, obviously, the global reach of both technology to disseminate the story and the global reach of travel to disseminate the virus. Remember that when Woodstock happened, the vast majority of Americans had never taken a commercial flight. So these two things have come together, and it's created changes in our lives, but people are always adapting. You know, we're always dancing with new possibilities for life. We'll get used to working from home. We'll get used to having theaters shutter, restaurants, this and that. And, you know, the economic challenge will hover over the economy, but unless there's a total collapse, we'll be all right on that front as well. But what has changed is the absolutely astonishing impact this had on the reputation of the United States and the myth of American exceptionalism. Here we were, a nation with 2,000 people dying a day, discovering that we were living kind of in a failed state, ruled by a kind of a dysfunctional government, led by someone who clearly intellectually could not even begin to understand the significance of what was happening all around him.
So is the critique more about the specific government response and perhaps the president than it is about America in general? I mean, are those two the same?
No, they're not. I say in the article that the election of President Trump in 2016 was not a symptom or a cause of decline. It was an indication of the intensity of the descent, in a sense. You know, we forget what's become of America. And again, I want to stress this, that, you know, I've often described, since this piece went viral, as a Canadian commenting on America. I married an American. I became a naturalized American. I love America. I got my education there. My entire career could never have happened in Canada. My own son-in-law is serving on active duty in the U.S. forces right now overseas.
So you're saying this, what, out of love?
Yeah. It's, you know what I think it is? It's like a family intervention. You know, if you have an intervention, the first thing you have to do is hold the mirror to the person to show you where they've gotten to. And one of the most remarkable correlations of this whole crisis is to look at the difference in performance between the true social democracies of the world, whether it's Canada, New Zealand, Denmark, or the Scandinavian nations, compared to the United States. And, you know, I've also had some criticism of this article by Canadians who keep saying, oh, it's not so great in Canada. Well, of course it's not so great in Canada. We're no perfect place. But the data is the data. And on July 30th, when the United States announced 59,979 new cases of COVID, in all of British Columbia, there were 5 COVID patients in the hospitals. The measure of success in a civilized nation is not the currency accumulated by the lucky few, but the strength of social relations and the bonds of reciprocity that sort of bind everybody one way or another into a common purpose. I mean, people in the United States just forget what they did. They saved civilization. The Ford Motor Company made more industrial output than Italy. You know, we were popping out Liberty ships 2 a day. The record for building a Liberty ship was 4 days, 29 hours and 17 minutes from scratch, you know. I mean, literally industrial might of America, together with the blood of Russian soldiers, literally saved civilization. You know, we end up spending $6 trillion since 2001 on military adventures. If China's never gone to war since the 1970s, we've never been at peace. And in that time, China, every 3 years, poured more cement than America did in the 20th century. They built their own country.
I want to pull up a pair.
All right, you guys. He said we are really at the end of this thing. You know? Hold on.
No one owes anything to anyone. All must be prepared to fight for everything, education, shelter, food, medical care, what every prosperous and successful democracy deems to be fundamental rights, universal health care, equal access to quality public education, a social safety net for the weak, elderly, and infirmed. America dismisses as socialist indulgences, as if
so many signs of weakness.
So they see that. They know that this thing is about to crumble. They know it. They know it. They know it. It's crucial. Mm-hmm. I'm telling y'all, they see this thing happening. They're trying to take back control. The only way that it appears that they seem to know how to take back control is to try to suppress us, so that they can suppress the vote, so they can get the people in there that they want to be in there and change the laws to try to put it back to where you can never go back. You know, that's what Trump tried to do. He said, "Let's make America great again." It was never great. It was just used by the Most High to do something, and now it's been done.
Well, that's what I see. I see that they have no knowledge of care about a God. I didn't hear a word about anything like that. You understand? In his presentation or whatever it was. You understand? That this is the hand of the Almighty Yah. You understand? They got 500,000 people have died in 1 year. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because of COVID. And they haven't got a handle on that yet. You understand? So they need to be taking a look at some of these signs that's being put out by the Almighty. You understand? So that but they're not going to do that. These people are not of the Almighty. They're not about God at all, period. You understand? So if they think that they can do something or something is going to happen, you understand? This is too far gone. It's on its way out. You understand? Just yesterday, I think you mentioned something that one of the people said, this is something like the third world country.
It is. It really is. Hold on. Area code 513, Sister Afion, you on the air. Your mic is open.
Shalom, everyone. Shalom, Brother Donia. I just wanted to hearken on the whole world dominance. If you look at all the countries, Babylon, Greece, Rome, the common thread of you being a world power is having us in captivity, even Egypt. That is the only way that these countries is that we were in captivity to them. That is it. When we leave, they don't have any more dominance. And that is, to me, that is the common thread. If we're not there, or, you know, we're under captivity, you're not a world power. And because this was our last captivity, no one else will be a world power.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say. That is the common thread for all the captivities. For you to be a world power is for us to be under your subjugation, and we are going back to the Most High, and that is why he's taking over the kingdom. He's taking over the world. It's because we're going back into his subjugation, and that is
That's true. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. We all, it's looking like that. It really is looking like that. I'm serious. It really, really is. It's something, I'm telling you. It's something that I have. You know, I think it's something that we read about, we knew it was coming, but to actually visibly watch it happen, you know, these people are so worried about going back into slavery or for them passing laws that's going to take away their rights and the things that they fought for to do, they don't even understand. This is the sign, it's time to get ready to go. It is something is going on that we don't know nothing about for them to attack us like this, to get this, to amp this up. Because but then it could just be the Most High putting it in their mind, because this is a stage that has to take place. It has to.
That is correct. It
has to take place.
Lord, Almighty. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
No, I'm just looking at it like, wow, because he said right before your eyes. So these things are happening right before our eyes.
That is correct.
He said right before your eyes, I'm going to turn your captivity before your eyes.
That's what he said.
Mm.
And all the nations still know that he is the true and living Elohim.
Yeah, God clearly.
You understand? That's what he, you know, he, 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 You know, that's our God, man. He's working in our behalf. You understand? You know, he's always worked in our behalf. We just refuse to accept it.
Yeah, absolutely. Appears like that. It definitely appears that way. It is really something to see. But, I mean, you know, this was the word and this is what he said. And, you know, because it can't be a one world government and a superpower, too. It can't be. You can't have it all. You know? You cannot have it all. And they got a movie coming out called The Fall of America. I don't think it's come out yet, but they got a movie coming out. You know, they got a movie coming out called The Fall of America, and it ain't no joke. And I'm like, man, they setting the stage. The stage is being set by the people themselves. That is critical, y'all. I mean, whoa. And even me, I feel like we hanging on by a thread. You know?
Well, I'm back, Sister Yanya. I realize that this is for our, everything that happened now is for our benefit. You understand? I just got to stay focused and committed to the laws, the statutes, and the commandments of the Almighty. You understand? That's all we got. What else we got? Please show me what else we got. You understand?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, when you see it, it's a whole different situation. You know, you understand it, and you mentally think you're ready for it, but you got to really be ready to understand. You're getting ready to see the fall of an empire. You know, you getting like Babylon. There was no war with Babylon. Those people went to bed under one government and woke up under another king, completely. Yep. Whole system changed overnight. And they woke up like, you know, the king is dead. What? What you mean he dead? No, you know, the Persians done moved in. Why? We no longer under Babylonian rule no more. The Persians have taken over. Excuse me? We got a whole new king now. You know, and he's taken over. Overnight.
Yep. That's not
going
to happen with America, because America has to be destroyed. Point where there will be no inhabitants, no human inhabitants on this land. You understand?
Crucial.
So I look at it, you know what I'm saying? I heard a brother say that the nuclear war is going to be started by America. You understand? But it's to me, it makes no difference. You understand what I'm saying? It has nothing to, you know, there's nothing that we can do about it, but like I said, you understand? They committed to the Almighty and the Lord. That's all we got. We ain't got nothing else, man. Like I said several times, man, that I know that I wasn't all the best Hebrew Israelite. I'm just hoping that the Almighty work with my children, friends, and families. You understand? And people that are quiet, that are sticking to the law, that do the best they can with in the condition that we're in. That's all.
Absolutely. Now check this out. Check this out real quick. Here we go.
I've seen an aspect of empire that most people have not, unless you're in the military or perhaps the Foreign Service. And I think all of the red signs, the sort of red warning signs are there. I think also the fact that I spent so long outside the United States gave me a kind of perspective when I returned. I understood how radically the country had changed in the two decades that I was away. I think for those who had remained within the borders of the United States, those changes had been more incremental and perhaps less perceptible.
What are some of the symptoms, the signs that the American Empire is over?
The biggest sign is the fact that we are following the trajectory of all empires, which is that they expand beyond their capacity to sustain themselves. We have run up the largest deficits in human history, which in the bottom line is we can't repay it. We have done so at the cost of our infrastructure, our public education, our working class. We're hollowing the country out from the inside, and the physical evidence is all around us, plunging roughly one-third of Americans into poverty or near poverty, according to the latest statistics. Our bridges, our roads are collapsing. Libraries are being closed. Fire stations are being closed. These are the signs of a nation, or let's call it an empire, that is reaching a kind of a terminal point. And if we don't radically rechart our course, then the collapse is going to be very frightening and very chaotic.
In Empire of Illusion, which you wrote and published in 2009, you write, "Those captive to images cast ballots based on how candidates make them feel. They vote for a slogan, a smile, perceived sincerity, and attractiveness, along with the carefully crafted personal narrative of the candidate. It is style and story, not content and fact, that inform mass politics."
Entertainment.
Precisely. Yep. And the structure of the corporate state, as well as the imperial state, remains untouched. It doesn't really matter which political party holds office. The policies of George W. Bush have been assiduously carried out for the large part by Barack Obama. And even figures like Dick Cheney have confirmed this, whether it is the so-called war on terror, the refusal to restore habeas corpus, the eavesdropping, wiretapping, and monitoring of tens of millions of Americans, which under our Constitution should be illegal, passed for the FISA Reform Act, which Barack Obama supported, whether it is the looting of the U.S. Treasury on behalf of Wall Street. All of these are policies which are bipartisan, and that is because we have undergone, I think, in the last few decades, a kind of slow-motion coup d'etat, a corporate coup d'etat, whereby the citizen is rendered impotent, and it is solely the interests of corporations which are paramount within the circles of the power elite. I mean, one could take many examples, but Obamacare would be a good one. I share the right wing's critique of Obamacare. It's a disastrous bill. It was written by corporate lobbyists, 2,000 pages of it. It is essentially the equivalent of the bank bailout bill for the pharmaceutical and insurance industry, $400 billion in subsidies. Meanwhile, the White House handed out exemptions because these corporations do not want to insure chronically ill children. I mean, think of it in moral terms. It really means that we live in a country where it is now legally permissible for corporations, for-profit corporations, to hold sick children hostage while their parents frantically bankrupt themselves trying to save their sons or daughters. This is the kind of world the corporate state creates.
All right, y'all. I mean, you know, everybody's seeing the signs. The signs is there. We see it coming. We have to deal with what we have to deal with. It's just a situation where it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. We got to watch it and identify it and know what's happening. Because I'm telling we can't keep going like this. This is not going to, we're not going to survive like this. I mean, me, myself, personally, with the industry that I am in, I thank the Most High for the job opportunity that I have. I hope that it lasts long enough for me to do the things that I need to do. But to be real honest with you, I don't know. I just really don't know. I can't say because I don't know. I just really don't. Hold on. Area code 337, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a question because, I mean, coming up, you never really heard nothing. You never seen nothing about China and prophecy. So that's mm-hmm. what's baffling me because China not in is not in the it's not mentioned in scripture. So where did China fit in all this at?
I was told that China was Gog. Now I don't know how true that is. You know, when they broke down those nations, I don't know. I can't say one way or the other. I really can't. I don't know either. I mean, I was told it was that China was Gog and I don't know. That's a good question.
My question is to the brothers, is what does it matter?
It matters because up until nobody knew that Esau was going to go and take all the industries out of America and take it to China. That's the reason China rose like it did, but nobody knew China was going to come on the scene. And it wasn't prophesied. You didn't hear no pastors or no rabbis. You never heard nobody talking about China. But it, obviously, from day one, being the Most High know who he knows this thing, he had to have a prophesied.
Right.
So that should wake everybody up right there. Because we've been lied to somewhere because China was never talked about. But now that the Most High prophecies is unfolding, we're looking at China emerging. America's going to fall and China's going to rise. Just like she just said with the Persians. The Israelites thought, there's like two things. The Israelites thought that he was told by Jeremiah, go to Babylon for 70 years. And he said, after those 70 years, while you in Babylon for those 70 years, you're going to serve Nebuchadnezzar, his son, and his grandson. That's what we told Jeremiah. They woke up, and Cyrus was there. So we look at the same thing now. We're under the assumption that the America going to do something for us in the very end. But it ain't America. So we've been lied to somewhere because China's not in the prophecy. It's not in those 66 books nowhere.
That we know of. Because it could be there under a name that we don't know of. But, they going to – everybody has a part to play. You know, you got a point. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, you got a point, but I don't know. I really can say
I do not. I don't see it as having any in the great destruction. There's going to be a great destruction. How is China going to save us out of this mess? It's the Almighty that's going to do that. You understand? And he's talking about bringing China in. What does that matter? It doesn't matter at all. Not from my perspective.
Well,
so you had Joseph. Joseph told the Israelites. Obviously, when you rightly divided, Joseph had a dream. He told Joseph that the children of Israel was gonna be put under hard bondage in Egypt. And so he told him, you're gonna come out though. He's coming to get you. So he had to, in order for Joseph to know that, he had to come to him in a dream, in a vision, and show him that. But my point is this. They believed what Joseph had told him because Joseph was a righteous man. They had no idea that he was going to come and drag the Pharaoh out in the middle of the Red Sea and drown him. They didn't know that.
Say that again?
They didn't. All they knew that the Lord of Hosts was coming to deliver them out of Egypt. They didn't know. They didn't have no idea. Just like us right now, we don't know how we're going to be delivered. All we know is it's been told us that we're going to be delivered. They didn't know at the time. Just like we are right now, they didn't know that the Lord of Hosts is going to come back, drag the Pharaoh out, fool him out in the Red Sea, and drown him. They didn't know that.
Okay.
Mm. Well,
here's
the thing, you understand? We got to watch how this stuff develops. We have no, all we have is a perspective on what the scriptures say, you understand? But we know, and we base our understanding on that, period. But we don't know nothing about the future and how the Almighty's going to bring things in. Now, like I said, I don't know nothing about no Chinese going to do anything. You understand? How could they possibly want to do anything when they ravaged in Africa? You understand? I'm talking about these people as they're not clean at all in this whole matter. You understand what I'm saying? But I wouldn't bank nothing on the Chinese. You understand? Because they ain't clean at all in this whole matter.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that when you understand that a lot of things that's happening in the world right now, especially in America, people are giving credit to all kind of other people. But when you go to the scriptures, Esau and these bankers, these
it's
Illuminati
all about
bankers.
Esau. It's all
right,
about
right, so he,
when the Almighty,
right, so
let me say this right quick, and I'm going to let you finish. When the Almighty said, he said that Esau is the culprit in all of this stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't. He didn't mention Rome. He mentioned Esau.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these Illuminati bankers. I think this was mentioned before. But these Illuminati bankers, when you go do the research, they put all their money in the road in Belton, Michigan. That's over now. So I was listening yesterday. I think it was. You guys are talking about Suez Canal. You got to stop and think about that. Nobody's looking at the fact that those Illuminati bankers is the ones behind this. They plugged up Suez Canal. They're the same ones that brought the virus over here. They're the same ones that back in the early 70s and left all the companies out of America. Caterpillar, all those companies went to China. It's these Illuminati bankers. And everybody giving everybody else the credit for it, but it's them. When you go and do the research on the road and belt initiatives, they're building all these smart cities all around that old Silk Road where Marco Polo would be. So they the ones plugged up that thing. The Chinese owned the ship that plugged up the Suez Canal. That wasn't no accident. These Illuminati bankers is doing a slow demo job on America.
Okay, my question here is that who are those international bankers that you just spoke of? Who are they? Are they Esau or are they Ashkenazi?
In Obadiah, it says in Obadiah that on the very first verse, couple of verses, that Esau is small. It ain't that many of them. It's that Illuminized Edomite. It's not that many of them. And I'll give you, if you want to know what he looked like, then you look at Dr. Fauci.
I'm asking you who those international bankers are. You understand? Are they
Rothschild.
Who are they? Are they Ashkenazi or are they Esau?
No, they're not. They can't be Ashkenazi. They got a son called Ashkenazi. So it can't be them.
What I'm asking you are, who are those international bankers that you are speaking of? Are they Esau or are they Ashkenazi? Because Ashkenazi is Yapeh. You understand? Now Yapeh.
Right.
Now Esau went into Esau. You understand? Went into Europe, into those European countries, and engineered a lot of stuff. You understand? But the international bankers who they took up the understanding of Esau, you understand, and they call themselves Jews, you understand? So if they can't be Hebrews and Yapeh. They got to be one of the two.
Yeah, I never said it was Hebrews. I never said it was Hebrews. I know they're not Hebrews.
Ashkenazi because those are the you understand? So what I'm trying to say here is that those people, those international bankers, you understand, are those so-called Jews that they taking up that name. You understand? Esau, they treat Esau just like they treat Hebrew Israelites. You understand? Those Ashkenazi Jews.
Right.
Okay, so what's the point?
What point are you? Hold on, just let me get her mic open. Area code 513, your mic is open again. We got a few minutes, and then we're gonna have to wrap this up. 513, hold on. So what point was you guys making?
Again.
Oh, the point that I was making, you understand, is that, you understand, Esau, you understand, is the Almighty, see, the point that I was trying to make is that Esau went into Europe and influenced all of those European countries. They worked from behind the scenes, you understand?
Right.
But the real culprit in that matter, just like when the Almighty talked about Esau, he hated, he didn't say Rome, you understand? You understand? He's talking about Esau, you understand? The
Rome,
one that,
Rome is Eden.
Say that again?
Rome is Eden.
No, well, when the Almighty was talking about Esau, I mean, when all, he said, when he talked about Esau, I hated, he's talking about Esau.
Right.
Rome had nothing to do with that.
Right, not at first. Right, that's right. But now that we move, because we still at the bottom of the statue, we still at the 10 toes of the statue, regardless who the empire is now and what's going on. Hold on, at 513, go ahead, your mic is open. Let's see what she has to say.
Shalom, family. I got a question. The earth, after the flood, the earth was populated by three nations, right? Ham, Shem, and Japheth?
Yes.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, we know who Ham is. We know who Shem is. So all the other nations, whether they're Asian, Koreans, Russians, they have to fall under Japheth. Japheth.
Sure do.
So that would include the Chinese.
That sure do.
Absolutely.
They sure
Absolutely.
Do.
And I know that Revelations, if I'm not mistaken, Revelations talk about the king of the East. So that's got to be China or Japan or one of those.
That's true. That's true.
Can I say something?
That's something we're going to have to research. You know, I had never really thought about where Asia actually fits into, but I'm definitely going to check that out because, you know, that's a very good point. I mean, you know, I've heard different teachings that Asians were part of. But we'll have to see. I don't know. I'll have to check that out because I don't know. Hold on, let me see.
Because I want to find out who the king of the East is. It's got to be China because they're running the world basically right now when it comes to finances.
That's true.
Let me see. Area code 540, did you want to say something? Area code 540.
Yeah, I had my phone on mute. I was listening to everything. What we have to realize is that we have no friends. And when you were speaking about the law about if they're standing online voting, you can't give someone water. Well, nobody was fussing about when they passed the laws against the homeless. You couldn't give them anything to eat. You couldn't buy them anything to eat. And you couldn't give them any water. But I didn't hear any uproar about that. They're human beings who just have it hard and just, you know, fell beneath the money line. But they're people, too, and they should be entitled to vote.
I agree with you 100%, but the homeless can't vote. So they don't care about them. They don't have a residence. You got to have an address.
Yeah, that's wrong. They should try to change that because anyone can be just a paycheck away from being homeless.
That's true.
I am.
So,
me too.
That's how I feel about it. But it's going to get worse. We were told it was going to get worse. And we just have to pray. And it doesn't make sense to get involved in it because we cannot solve it. We can't solve our own issues. We have to wait on Yah.
True. I agree 100%.
And he will fulfill it.
Listen to what you just said. Listen to what you said. You said, you understand, that they need to change the law so that the homeless can vote. Do you see the law that they just put in? That they're not going to do nothing right. They're not going to ever do anything right.
They're not going to do anything right. They can't. It's not in them.
That is correct. So they're not going to change no laws. that is going to benefit anybody but themselves, period. You understand? We have to understand, you know, you understand? We failed to understand that this was a punishment for Hebrew Israelites. That's all. That was for no other reason. That's why this society was in place. Please show me what else that this society has put in place that was beneficial for anybody but themselves. You understand?
None that I know of.
That it was a people, a no people, a people void of understanding, a people that have no caration for young or the old, period. And this is
that's
the people that
proven.
We're talking about right now. This is the people
that's
that are shooting
proven.
Person in the back with no gun.
Mm-hmm.
They had no gun. This is the people that will stand on a man's throat and puff out his chest. You understand? When the man is calling for his, he can't breathe. These are the same people that the Almighty was talking about. So
mm-hmm.
we got to understand. This is only for our punishment, for no other reason. Hallelujah.
I believe.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? We are at the end of our show. I don't want to go into overtime because a lot of times when we go into overtime, if the phone disconnects, I can't call back in, and everybody's just hanging there. So I just wanted to say that I think this is a really good show, and it shed some light on a lot of things. And for the most part, we know. I mean, we know what the scripture says. We're watching it from a distance and watching it play out. But this is really for the benefit of those who won't accept what we say. You know, we're putting a conversation together for you to put the puzzle pieces together and understand that this is a production by the Most High, the Elohim of Israel, and everybody's playing their part. And you know, it's nothing wrong in wanting your life to remain the same and you know, if you're a creature of habit. However, we're not in control of the way the story was written, who the players are, or how it's going to end up. But when we show you things and it lines up, you got to see when it looked like a duck and it quacked like a duck, it's a duck.
Absolutely.
I mean, for real. I mean,
hey, y'all.
We have each other every week for your benefit, not for ours.
True. You know, I just heard that the U.S. Navy is on their way to the Middle East to that spot along the Suez Canal. So China is not going to have that.
If they don't, and guess what? If they got to move that tanker, because if they don't get that tanker up out of there, it's $1 billion a day they losing.
Absolutely.
Yep. I think it's going to crack in half. I think they're going to mess with it, and it's going to crack in half because they already done sent 10 tow barges, and they couldn't move it. And they say that it's heavy. It's middle. It's heavy in the middle because they got tankers on the front, tankers on the back, and they scared to move anything from the back because it's going to flip up that way. They move it from the front. It's going to flip up, and it's sinking in the middle.
But
and they said it's hard to get those cranes in there to take them things off of there because of the foundation is sandy and they're afraid they're going to sink. Man,
they
it.
Thought about yeah. helicopters, but that wouldn't work either. It's not safe.
Lord have
so,
mercy.
Can you imagine the gas it would cost to actually get a helicopter? It's going to take at least 10 or 5 helicopters to move one of those containers, and them helicopters can't be that close together because the blades going to hit each other.
Yeah,
and where they going to set them at? You set something that heavy on the sand barge, and those containers are going to sink into the ground.
Oh, yeah. You know, y'all know what he be doing when you got to watch him do what he do, boy, because this can't just be no coincidence. Now they tell him we don't know whether it's human error or whether it was a natural wind or something. We just don't know. No, you don't know what it was, but something pushed it in the way and blocked. That thing is large as the Empire State Building.
Yep.
Yeah.
My daddy pushed it. Won't y'all admit it? My daddy did it.
So. What did he say?
And if
like
it gets stuck there, nothing's going to move.
It ain't budging. And it's like, I don't understand why they can't just start it up and back it up and steer it. What's the problem?
It's wet.
It's too much sand. William says
in
too much sand.
Yes.
Ain't no water. They didn't drain the water.
In the back end. Well, the water isn't deep.
Right.
You
that's why it's wedged in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
It ran aground.
Yeah.
That is crucial. Let me get off here. Y'all will have a... That is incredible. I mean, man, oh, man, that is incredible. I'm serious. That is just incredible.
All right, stand back and watch our father work.
Man, okay.
Yes, yes. And he did
like
that
little,
for
like
us.
It's like a little Tonka toy. Hold on, Brother Leonard, go ahead. You push one again. What you got to say? You got to say something. What you got to say, Brother Leonard?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
We
hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to say, when he was talking about the Esau thing, something for people to think about. Paul's journey, the journeys that Paul took.
Right.
He went into Europe, but nobody looking at that. Where was Israelites there? The Israelites,
that
the Israelites on the West Coast of Africa. They were on the West Coast of Africa. So who were these people? Who were these people that went into Europe in 70 A.D.? That's what nobody's not dealing with.
I don't know. Hold on. Air code 904, your mic is open. You're on the air real quick.
Real quick, shalom, everyone. I just wanted to say and remember the Suez Canal is what they created to separate Israel from the land. So,
and they was working on it when the ship, they was trying to widen it when the ship got hung up. So evidently, y'all didn't appreciate them dividing his land.
Okay.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Hallelujah.
We got to recognize that this is the Almighty doing everything in our benefit. For our benefit.
Oh, it says the Empire State Building is 1,250 feet. This thing is the same size as the Empire State Building. That's how long it is. Jesus, Pete. Woo.
Mm.
Well, ain't nothing else we can do. We're going to give praise to the Most High, the high and holy Elohim of Israel. Whatever it is he's doing, he's in control, and man going to have a hard time trying to get that thing out of there. In the meantime, in the between time, we want everybody to enjoy the rest of their week. Brother Yerushalayim, if you're on the air, can you push one real quick so you can give the information about if you're here, get him on here real quick, and then we're going to say our farewells to everybody. Go ahead, Brother Yerushalayim, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, our number for the men's call is 720-820-1215. That's 720-820-1215. That's every Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
All right, everybody, and wonderful thing. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We look forward to seeing everybody this week. In the meantime, stay close to the news so we can see what's going on, because the Most High said right before your eyes, He said, I'm going to turn your captivity before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note,
shalom.
Have a wonderful rest of your week. Good night.
Shalom.